God has given women special abilities to be used in serving Him, and as we have just sung, in living for Jesus. As they are doing so, there are those women who are barren, but they are to serve the Lord. There are those women who are bearing, and they too are to serve the Lord. While neither of them is to be spiritually unfruitful. And so I want us to examine some cases of ladies in Scripture who had children and served the Lord. Mothers who include their children in their service to God have more time to serve the Lord. Manoah's wife was told by the angel of the Lord that she would give birth to a son. The child, according to the angel, was to be raised as a Nazarite, dedicated to the Lord, abstaining from alcohol and forbidden food, Judges chapter 13. Manoah's son would rescue Israel from the Philistines, who had been oppressing Israel for some 40 years. Manoah prayed. He prayed that the angel would return and give them more instructions about this child that would be born to them. And the angel did appear. The angel appeared to Manoah's wife again, and so she went and sent for her husband, and finding him, she brought him out to where they would meet the angel. But the angel directed them only that the son or the child was to be raised as a Nazarite. Manoah and his wife wanted to honor the angel after this second appearance, but the angel directed them rather than to offer their worship and sacrifice to him, to render their sacrifice to God. Manoah's wife, who is never named in Scripture, gave birth to Samson, a child that grew up and the Lord blessed him, Judges chapter 13, verses 24 and 25. Mothers who do the Lord's will with their child or children serve the Lord. Hannah was heartbroken because she did not have any children, 1 Samuel chapter 3. When the Lord honored her request, giving her a son, she dedicated Samuel to the Lord, remaining faithful to the Lord in keeping her promise. Mothers who involve their children in their service to God are a blessing beyond their time. Hannah was blessed with three more sons and two daughters, 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 21. But I want us to take a closer look at Mary. Join me in Luke chapter 1. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was serving the Lord before she became a mother. Notice Luke chapter 1, verse number 30, when the angel Gabriel came to Mary, he said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." How did Mary find favor with God? As any and all of the great men and women of faith found favor with God. They were faithful to Him, faithfully serving Him by all that they did. I love Mary's faithful response when, after some understanding of the angel's instructions had been sorted out, if you will, she said in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Mary was ready and willing to serve. She was a bondslave, a bondservant, if you will. And she was willing to go, willing to do whatever it took. Mary and Joseph together brought their son to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, Luke chapter 2, verse 22. If you go to Luke chapter 8, there Mary came to her son, Jesus, to see him. On that occasion, Jesus used her as an opportunity to explain that all who hear the word of God and do God's will are a part of His family, Luke 8, verse 21. If you go over to the Gospel of John, John chapter 2, verse 1 shows that Mary was with Jesus at Cana of Galilee at a wedding. So she spent time socially with Jesus as well. In chapter 2 of John's Gospel, verse number 12, we find that Jesus spent a few days with his mother and his brothers and his disciples at Capernaum. We go to the end of John's Gospel. John chapter 19, we find there in verse number 25 that Mary was there at the cross. She was standing nearby as she witnessed all that took place concerning Jesus. In John chapter 19, verse number 26, we find that Jesus gives the disciple whom Jesus loved the care and responsibility of his mother, or to his mother rather, saying, "Woman, behold your son." In verse 27, Jesus gave that same disciple, the disciple whom he loved, to his own mother to be cared for, saying, "Behold your mother." Mothering by serving is not only about mothering to others, but being cared for by others. Then in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 14, we find both Mary and the disciple whom Jesus loved together serving God as they are devoted to prayer after the ascension of Jesus. Mothering by serving the Lord gives opportunities in every life phase of a woman. In every life phase. Lois had sincere faith that she passed down to her daughter Eunice. In turn, Eunice passed on that sincere faith to her son Timothy. Paul noted such in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Lois taught her daughter about serving the Lord. And there's no doubt in my mind that grandmother Lois also had a part in establishing the faith of her grandson, Timothy. Grandmothers helped their children to instill and establish faith in their children. Mothers who serve the Lord with genuine faith pass it on to their child or to their children. And thus a standing legacy of faith begins with one woman who desires to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord by mothering the people around you. Titus chapter 2 verses 3 through 5 states that older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, not enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. When Paul used the term that is translated the young women, he used a term that simply means young or new. Since it's found in the feminine form, it's obviously referring to women. Contextually, we conclude the same because Paul is speaking of young women because he says that they are to be trained to love their husbands. Young women need to be trained. They need to be taught. They need to be educated. They need to be instructed how to love their husbands, to love their children, how to be sensible, pure, workers at home, how to be kind, how to be subject to their own husbands, so that they can live a life that glorifies God when they become married and when they have children, if they do. For time and topic purposes, we need to give attention to one such of these seven qualities that are listed. Older women are to teach younger women to be workers at home. The phrase translates a single word. It means housekeeper, a housemaker. The term means being busy at home or working at home. Paul states the reason for the young women to be trained in such matters is so that the word of God will not be dishonored or blasphemed. In a similar passage, Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 14, "Therefore, I want younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach." That term younger is the same word read in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 4. It means younger. It means new. And again, it's in the feminine form. Contextually, this time, we conclude that Paul's speaking about widows because he mentions widows in several verses. Verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 9, our study, verse 14, and again in verse 16. These young widows are instructed to get married, to bear children, and to keep a house. Keep house means manage a household. These responsibilities would include those things that we are so familiar with, such as cleaning and cooking, the physical aspects of housekeeping. But they would also include other aspects, such as being submissive to her husband, to love her husband, and to love her children. What Paul is getting at is that when a husband or a child is in the picture, the woman's first responsibility is to care for the home. This mothering can be done even if the woman works outside the home. An increasingly more sought-after role for women is to work from home so that they can do the work at home, fulfilling God's calling in that regard, but also to have a job. Serve at home by mothering the people in your home. But as we've already noted, working outside the home is prevalent as well. Lydia was a seller of purple fabrics, Acts chapter 16, verse number 14. She worked at something in addition to managing her house or household. In fact, Acts chapter 16 and verse number 15 tells us that when she and her household, which may or may not have included a husband, a child or children, slaves, servants, among others, when she and her household had been baptized, she urged Paul and his companions to come into her house and stay. Lydia was a woman who served the Lord inside her house and outside her house. Another prominent woman, or a woman very well known for her work outside her home, is the worthy woman of Proverbs 31. We know her so well because of her work inside the home, which is evident throughout the text, beginning in verse 10 and going through the end of the chapter. But look at a few verses about her work outside the home. Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 16. Says she considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Verse 24, Proverbs 31, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Buying property, making and selling garments and belts show some of her works outside the home, but she did not overlook or neglect the ways of her household. Proverbs 31 woman is praised for doing everything in her power to take care of her family. Her motivation is important, in that her business activities were the means to an end and not an end in themselves. In other words, her work outside the home was secondary to her first responsibility, stewardship of her husband, her children, and her home. But in taking care of and providing for them, there must have been a need for her to work outside the home as well. If working outside the home does not hinder godliness, then serve the Lord inside and outside the home. But if working outside the home causes the neglect of serving in the home, it's work outside the home that must come to an end. Serve the Lord by mothering inside and outside the home when both can be maintained to God's glory. If you left Titus chapter 2 with me just a moment ago, go back to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. When Paul used or said older women, he used a term that refers to an older woman, but not yet in the last or least productive stage of old age. Notice a few things with me. Paul did not use a term that specifies whether this older woman is married or unmarried. Nor did he use a term that specifies whether this woman was barren or bearing. He instructs older women to encourage, to instruct, to train, to advise the young, the new, whether unmarried or married, to live a godly life. Paul again gives the reason for the older women to train and the younger women to be trained, so that the word of God will not be dishonored or blasphemed. Widows and women who remain as Paul was, unmarried, are concerned about the things of the Lord, how they may please the Lord, Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 34. For the most part, we can see that a single person is more free to devote more of their time, if not all of their time, and attention to the work of the Lord, having no need to share that time with a spouse or with children. Paul included there in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 34, but one who is married is concerned about the things of this world, how she may please her husband. Undistracted devotion to the Lord is to be promoted. In other words, serve the Lord's leading. Serve your husband, children, and home if you have them. Serve the Lord with greater attention if you do not. But serve the Lord. Serve the Lord's leading by mothering everyone the Lord leads you to, or else the Lord leads to you. Women, serve the Lord for your soul's sake. What will it profit a woman if she should gain the whole world but lose her own soul? Serve the Lord at home by managing the home with your husband, training the child or children in the faith, and working at home so that the word of God will not be dishonored. When serving outside the home, do so to the glory of God, abounding in the work of the Lord. If you are physically or circumstantially without children, our heart goes out to you. It is true that your ultimate purpose is just the same as it would be for any mother. Reflect God in all that you do. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 28, we find the first occasion of a statement that we read many times throughout Scripture. God instructed there, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. After destroying the world with a flood, God again stated, Genesis chapter 9 and verse number 1, God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. God's redemption of Israel began with, I will multiply you exceedingly. I have made you exceedingly fruitful, Genesis chapter 17. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice, Genesis chapter 22 and verse 18. After the captivity, specifically after Jerusalem was rebuilt, God spoke through Malachi. Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeking? Malachi 2 verse 15. Godly offspring. So guard yourselves in your spirit and let none of you be faithless to the wife of his youth. From Moses all the way to Elijah, the Old Testament is about filling the earth with people who fear God. The New Testament then has a commission in which it commissions God's people to reach all the nations. Through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, salvation has been made available to all people. Jews and Gentiles alike are invited to come into the family of God, Galatians chapter 3 verses 28 and 29, with many mothers. God's instruction to Israel, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, is expanded then in the Great Commission, instructing Jews and Gentiles in the family of God to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. If you read Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. Paul wrote, even so Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Are you a woman of faith? Go about mothering by serving. Serving those around you, whether inside or outside the home, but serve the Lord. Are you a member of the family of God? Everyone who does God's will is a part of His family. Salvation is made available through His Son, Jesus, who was born of woman, Galatians 4 and verse 4. Jesus then instructs everyone to believe in Him, repent of sins, confess His name, and be born again, born of water and the Spirit, John 3 and verse 5, which is baptism. If you're a soul who is seeking a mother to care for you, come and be a part of the greatest family ever. If you're a mother, be a part of the greatest family ever, because God has some children. He needs you to mother. If you are blessed to be a part of the greatest family ever, you've been blessed with many, many mothers. And to them, we are indebted. It was probably a mother who taught you in the cradle role. It was probably a mother who taught you in the grade school classes. It was probably a mother who taught you at home. It was probably a mother who spent many hours instilling the faith that you now have and maintain. We are indebted to mothers for mothering by serving.